want to begin by having you imagine this morning. I want you to imagine being gifted with a brand new car that you have in your garage as you walk to work every day. Now, I want you to imagine being told that the car needs gas, which you perceive the haul from the gas station across town, 2 gallon can at a time until the tank is filled. But you still walk to work each day, 5 days a week, and you're safe. Now, imagine the surprise when your neighbor stops and teaches you about the keyless fob that starts the engine. The world has suddenly changed. And now you walk to work every day, but you're now late because you run the engine before you leave your garage. Imagine. Of course you wouldn't do that. You're way too smart for that. Right? You like that. And you know about the driver. But I'm convinced that something similar happens in too many Christians' lives after they've discovered and accepted Jesus as Savior. And they're left thinking that there's still things they have to do to make sure they're saved, or they think there's nothing else they ever have to do. They get the idea that Jesus died, and that by faith we're attached to that death. But sadly, they miss the invitation to grow in that faith, to become more with that faith. And so they, like the person with the car in the garage filled with gas and an engine that runs, still walk to work. This morning, as we continue in our study of Colossians, we're going to recognize that each section that we look at kind of builds on everything before. And Paul is writing to explain that everything we need for our life of faith is in the box. That is, in Jesus Christ is everything for real life, for whole life, for eternal life. It's in Jesus. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, creator and sustainer of everything. Everything, even beyond or smaller than we can imagine or see. He came among us. He came among us as forgiver. He came among us as redeemer. He reconciled us with God. He made us one with God, and that is a reality. Jesus, who is the author of faith and of life, enlivens our dead in our sins souls, releasing us to reflect that to others through our lives, our fragrant lives. And everything we might ever need for life, for eternal life, is found in a faith relationship with Jesus Savior, but there is a catch. And I know some of you are thinking, I knew it! I knew there was a catch to this faith thing. But it's probably not what you think. You see, we have to open the box. Trusting Jesus, we have to open that relationship that we share with Him through the blood of the cross. We have to work with Him to fully enjoy what He made possible for us. We actually have to do something with what He has placed within our hearts. And this is what Paul is going to carefully describe for us in Colossians chapter 2. And if you have your Bible, open to chapter 2, starting at verse 6. So we're going to read through to verse 23 this morning. Some of it we're going to do a deep dive, and some of it I'm going to pull out some significant principles and send you home to do the deep dive. Just wear life vests so you don't drown, because it's some heavy stuff there. So, as Paul is speaking to those who know they are saved, to those who know they are in Christ, he explains that to know eternal life, but don't do that without overlooking that we are responsible for doing that which enables us to grow. Carol and I planted flowers on our deck. And we did it with great trepidation because my lovely bride has a black thumb when it comes to plants. She's not allowed to talk to my plants. They kind of lean over when she does that, and I know when she's done that. And our daughter used to run between people who carried flowers to Carol. No, don't do that. But we planted the flowers, and these are our flowers. But there are things that we know we have to do to keep them alive. She's not allowed to talk to them too often. And we have to water them. We even had people water them while we were away for a couple days at National Conference. But this is kind of what we need to be doing with our souls. We need to be caring for them in appropriate ways. So listen to Paul's words, and we begin reading in verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2. So then, based on all that stuff I've just mentioned, all the stuff we've looked at for the last several sermons, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, in these two verses, what Paul is explaining for us, he's describing this growing up in Christ. He's explaining what we need to do, and he explains how this helps us in our daily lives. Now, to start, it's a pretty simple thing, but what we need to do is we need to continue. We need to continue. There are a lot of people who get saved and then they stop. I'm saved. That's enough. It's like being born. Please don't touch me ever again. I'm just born. And that's what Paul is going to move us beyond. We're not to get saved and stop. We are to get saved and do what we have been doing, that process of getting saved, that part of hanging out with God and trusting in God and leaning into God. We're not to be waiting for our ride to heaven. We are to be continuing doing more with what we have been given. We're not going to create anything new, but we're going to expand. We're going to allow that new life, that whole life, that eternal life to blossom and become more in our lives. So just as we have received Christ by faith, we are to continue by faith, doing what we can as He empowers us. And it's not just doing on our own, but we do it out of our faith relationship with Him. And this is what Paul has been talking about all the way through this passage. Now, in these verses, verses 6 and 7 of Colossians 2, Paul describes four characteristics of being in Christ. Now, I need to give you a small grammar lesson this morning. How many people like grammar? Weirdos. Okay, so, but I do need to give you, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you like that. It popped out of my mouth. But I need to explain a little bit of grammar because it helps us understand these four characteristics of being in Christ. So what Paul has done here, and Paul was a phenomenal writer, and I'm not picking on him, but he chose to use four participles. Now, that's a grammar thing. But what he did is he took a verb, an action word, and he turned it into an adjective or an adverb. And so these action words now become descriptives. And so, do you hear that? Oh, okay. I thought it was just me. Okay. So these action words are rooted, built up, strengthened in, and overflowing. So the word rooted is a perfect tense. That means it's a one-time action, a past event, but it has ongoing impact, as in once rooted and continuing to be rooted, once born and continuing to live, to grow, or I once got a tattoo and it's always there on my arm. It has continued going, but it only happened once. I don't have a tattoo, by the way. These other three words, built up, strengthened, and overflowing, these are present tense. That is, they are now and ongoing. What we are doing, we should keep going. Ongoing being the idea in those words. That's it on grammar for today, because that's beyond what I know. I had to borrow that from a grammar book. Now, let's look at what Paul talks about these four characteristics. We'll start with rooted, because that was all by itself. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he said, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. As He gave you life, continue in that life. as you entered into a relationship by faith, continued by faith, because you are rooted, past tense, with ongoing impact, rooted in Him. So rooted in Him, once in the past, as we were taught that we, that would be the gospel, faith roots us in Jesus Christ with ongoing impact in our daily lives. So the faith is what roots us in Jesus, and it is that faith that causes us to grow and blossom in Jesus. Now, this is not anything new in this epistle. Paul's just not dropping another new idea. He's adding to or unpacking what he's already talked about. He's talked about the fact that it is by faith that we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And into that entering into that relationship, we are blood washed and we are forgiven. We are redeemed and reconnected with Him. And it continues on. And it becomes this opening up of Christ in our lives. Now, this is not anything different than what the psalmist wrote. If you go back to Psalm 1, verse 3, this is what you read about our life with God. He, that is the one who believes in God, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The tree is rooted. It is rooted in a moist area where it gets the fertile soil, it gets the water that it needs, and the tree does what is natural for a tree that is rooted in that environment. It grows and it produces fruit. Now, I don't know if you've ever stood under a fruit tree during the time of the year where it is actually growing the fruit and listen. I've done that repeatedly so that I can use this illustration. I have, well, sometimes you got to do that. It's like there are things that you want to do as a pastor during a sermon. You want to be able to hold out your Bible and go, that's never happened. So every now and then I show people that. But anyway, when you're in that position listening to the tree, what you hear is nothing. It is rooted and it's doing its thing, but it's not making it, it's not like, growing fruit. It's not happening like that. Which is a good thing because it would creep us out. And the same with us. Though some of us really groan and moan when you're listening to a sermon. I can't believe how long it's going. But it's good for you. And so this is what's going on in us by faith. And this side of our cross experience, as we are rooted in Christ, planted in fertile spiritual soil, it is in or out of this soil, this connection with Christ, that we grow. And it's also out of this connection that the next two ideas that Paul is talking about here, the next two participles, becomes part of our life. And so in our daily lives, along with being rooted, we are built up in Him and we are strengthened in the faith. As we receive Christ by faith, that is, trusting Him for our soul life, not one of us saved ourselves and not one of us will grow ourselves. But in the same way that we are trusting Christ for life, we also lean in Him through our roots for that growth. Saved by faith, increased out of our faith. We trust what He asks us to do, that it would actually increase us to become more like Him. Now, Jesus is the soil for our lives, and what we are becoming is unfolding. Not one of us got saved and we were suddenly everything we're going to be in Jesus Christ. It takes time, like the tree growing in that moist, fertile soil. We are a work in progress. And some of us use that as an excuse for why we behave the way we do. Well, I'm just a work in progress. But it's actually true. And over time, our work should look more finished. We should look more like Christ. One author wrote, he said, as we are strengthened in the faith, our faith strengthens us. We have this symbiotic relationship with our faith. We lean into it, it leans into us, and we grow as our faith grows. And so as we think about these two characteristics, they are God's work. He does that in us. But he works in conjunction with our faith. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't mold us in the sense that he just does everything. We have to be open to that everything that he makes possible. You see, you and I, we need to become available. We lean into the faith. He offers it. We lean into his faith. We continue to lean into his faith. And he continues to put more before us where we have to trust him more. And in that leaning in, being available, we are opening our lives to learn and to grow. We learn from the Word. We have to lean into the Word of God. We need to have Bible studies. We need to play with those scriptures so that they become part of our lives. You can't stick the Bible under your pillow and absorb overnight by osmosis the scriptures. You have to apply yourself to it. We also have to apply to living with one another in the body of Christ. And we learn from one another. We learn from their words, and we learn from their behaviors and their activities. And we learn from our experiences. And some of those experiences are hard experiences. We don't fully understand them. We don't know why we had that experience. But if we're walking with Christ, these things become part of our growth process. Now, there is a caution here, because as I'm describing this, there are probably some people in this room, I know there's people I have met, that hear this and think it's a work salvation. It is not. This is faith that wants more faith. This is faith that wants more spiritual muscle. This is faith that wants to be able to do more like Jesus did. But we have to lean in, and we have to work with God. Our salvation is rooted in Christ, and that's where it always stays. But growth, which is made possible by Christ, is only to the extent that we make our lives available. And that's why Paul wrote, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Now, these first three characteristics I said of being in Christ, they are done for us, in us, through us, and they are done by God. They're not forced on us. We must believe. They're not against our will. We must want to grow. And they're not without something from our side, what I call a want-to-grow-in-faith faith. A want-to-grow-in-faith faith. Do I believe Jesus enough to want to go through whatever it takes to become like him? Are you with me? Not work salvation, but a wanting to work with God through Jesus to become what he died on the cross to make possible. But there's this fourth characteristic, the final characteristic, and this one is all on us. And that is the overflowing with thankfulness. You see, as God roots and builds and strengthens us, our most natural response ought to be overflowing with thankfulness. When we realize what he has done for us, we recognize and we are in awe and we respond, "I am thankful." And as green leaves are the mark of a healthy plant, overflowing with thankfulness is one of the marks of spiritual life, of healthy spiritual lives. And those who are bubbling with thanksgiving are not easy prey for some of the things that often attack us as we chase after Jesus. We're not prey to temptation and sin. We are not prey to anxiety. We are not prey to doubt. And that is where Paul takes us in the remainder of the passage that we're going to look at this morning. He's going to explain to us briefly two problems, and he's got three reminders. Two reminders go with the first problem, and one goes with the third. And these are everyday realities that you and I experience. We might not put a label on them, but Paul's going to do that for us. So, alternating between the idea of being rooted, which is a good thing for us, he offers reminders of what should challenge us in those walks. So, in verse 8 of chapter 2, we read about the first problem, which is false philosophies that could steal our heart away from Christ. Notice verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive, that is, no one tricks you, through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So what he's saying is don't allow people to trip you up or trick you with spiritual lies which are merely earthbound or humanly created designs for spirituality. Now what he's saying here is that we need to be developing in us as we're growing in Christ the ability to recognize and refuse the lie, clinging to the truth that we are in Christ. And in Christ, as we make the most of being saved, learning and serving and maturing, did you get that? Learning and maturing and serving, all of which helps prepare us to resist the lie. Because in those processes of growing in Christ, of maturing in Christ, we become stronger, we become more aware of what is not the truth. It is the lie. And so that's the first problem Paul points out, and he gives us a couple of reminders about Jesus, who we are in relationship with. And that first reminder is that in Christ is indeed a solid place. And he begins that in verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Not just part of God, but all of God lives in him in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, not part of Christ, but all of Christ has been placed within us when we believe. And he is the head over every power and every authority, not just most, but every. He is the final authority. And in him you were also circumcised, in him, in that putting off the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now, Paul's explaining here that Christ is God. He is fully God. He is the source of, he is the foundation for the powerful lives that we have been promised in Jesus Christ. And it is in Christ that we're rescued from our sin and from ourselves, and we are united with him. And he gives two images here. The first is the image of circumcision. I won't go into detail on that, but I will tell you that is the cutting away of our sin. When we are related to him through faith, he cuts away our sin. We are circumcised from that. And then we are dead to our sin. And that is reflected in our baptism as we come up out of the water to new life. And we are alive in that new life. And these truths are important for us. They are a reminder that these offered alternative ways to do life are but lies. The only way for us to become fully like Christ is to continue with him in faith. Real life is only found in Christ. All other offers are lies. That's reminder number one. Reminder number two is that God has done the hard work. Verse 13, we read, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away and he nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, among others, God's other spiritual gifts to us, God has accomplished three things for us that he identified for us here. And these are the things that are in the box. They're in Christ. We have these immediately. We have access to these immediately by faith. And we need to remember these, not ever forget that he's done these things for us. First, in verse 13, while we were dead in our sins, while we could not live the way he chooses for us to live, God made us alive in Christ. And he did this through the blood of the cross as he forgave and reconciled us to him. He made us alive in a way we could never make ourselves alive on our own. Secondly, in verse 14, while the law and its demands opposed and condemned us, God took hammer and nail to that law, and in his Son canceled the law as Christ fulfilled the law for us, fulfilled all its demands. And this is a legal transaction between God and sin, God and the law. Because there was a law established, and if we violated the law in part, we were guilty of the whole thing, and we would die. Well, from the Garden of Eden on, there has been no person on the planet aside from Jesus who kept the law. And so we were dead. And in Jesus Christ, that law was satisfied, and because he was one of us, and yet fully God, he was able to die for all of us. And so in doing so, he fulfilled the law for us and literally canceled its demands on us. So he gave us life. He set us free from the law. And verse 15, the third thing he did, while we were defenseless, God disarmed the powers and authorities that were against us. Satan, his minions, all the authorities that he's given to others around us, God took all of those and mocked them. As Jesus did this silly thing of hanging between thieves on a cross, knowing that the spiritual implications of that laughed at the lie and knocked inside. Paul reminds us of this powerful position that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul goes on. There's another problem. And this problem is legalism and all of its assorted expressions. These can easily take us out of the game. It's not a game. Take us out of the life that we have in Jesus because it's life by faith. We can't do life by faith if we're trying to earn it. Which is why, as I explained the first part of the passage where we lean into and work with faith, it's not a work salvation because we can't earn it. But we can make the most of it. And so Paul writes about us being in Christ. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes the growth. As God causes the growth. As God causes the growth. We lean in with faith, and he causes the growth. Now, I have to admit that in some ways, obeying the details of the law feels easier. And there are churches, I know some of them, I've been in a few of them, that live by legalism. And the people in the pew don't have to think anymore. They don't have to lean in and grow in faith because somebody tells them what to wear, when they need to be where they need to be. And that is easier. And there's a scapegoat there because when things fall apart, well, it's his fault, he told me. And that does seem easier. It seems easier than walking by faith, praying and thinking about all the choices that we have, praying and thinking about all the opportunities we have. I might make a mistake, yes, we might. But we live in an environment of grace. God uses that grace to draw us back, to brush us off, and to send us out to do it some more. And the obeying of the law is not safe. It is a works attempted salvation. And Paul affirms that that is unto death. Because we cannot earn salvation. He offers a reminder. I am dead in Christ. You, as a believer, are dead in Christ, that we might live with Christ. Verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with youth because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You see, Paul is reminding us here that in Christ, it is our choice. It's our choice to embrace, died with Christ, live with Christ, and truly live. Or to try to make it to heaven on our own by our good works in which we will die. That's right. God, it's not a theological term, but God is a gentleman in his relationship with us. He invites us. He woos us. He loves us. He creates an environment for us to lean into him with faith. But we should walk the other way. He lets us choose. Now, from my vantage point, that sounds pretty silly. Because we're not all that bright all the time. And sometimes we choose this alternate way. That I might get to heaven on my own. That I have found a path to heaven. Paul is reminding us that it's a lie. That masquerade is something that seems better than what I have now. Paul wrote, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." It is, it seems, in our best interest to work to make the most of the gift of life by faith that Jesus has offered to us. Work not to be saved, but to enjoy being saved, to enjoy the fruit of being rescued, redeemed, reconciled. You and I, we know. We know that dead things just lie there. They don't grow, they don't move. And actually, most dead things have no value. We expect little from them. They're just dead things. But in Jesus Christ, we are not dead things. We are living things. And when we have living things, we have expectations of them. We expect living things to grow. We expect living things to mature. We expect living things to produce fruit. We expect from the living. Sounds like something Peter wrote. His, that is Jesus' divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Trusting in Christ is like buying and opening a jar of Prego spaghetti sauce or one of those taco kits where everything is in the box. It's all in the jar. It's all in the box. But you have to open them to enjoy the fruit of what's in them. And this is what Paul is talking about in this passage. Everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to reflect Jesus in our lives, everything we need to live a fragrant life that causes others to lean in, I want that, is in Jesus. We just need to lean in and allow him to grow through us. There are no hidden fees. There's no fine print with a list of deeds that we have to do. There are no loopholes to trip us up. We simply open Jesus' life and lean in by faith. And he does the miracle of transforming us into his very image. Is that where you want to be? Is that what you want to accomplish with your life? Father, this morning, as we looked at this difficult passage, as we think through these hard concepts, as we think about the lives that you've called us to live, we recognize that it's all in you. And I pray for myself, I pray for my friends here and on live stream, I pray that we would lean in faith for more. Build us, grow us, mature us, enable us to produce fruit of righteousness, and then multiply in the lives of others, we pray. Amen.